tell you what, I'm not going to take very long tonight. Let me ask you to do something for me, would you? And just think about this. You're the church family, okay? You've been here for years. I heard a guy say something the other day, and I don't know the guy that well. I've known him for a long time. But I don't know him that well, but I know he's been around the Word and around faith for a good while. And we were just talking, and right in the middle of it, he started blaming God for some things. And it just shocked me. I didn't expect that. Because sometimes you think that the people around you believe everything you believe. You know, and I was really thrown back because he was attributing something bad to God, that God had a reason, you know, and that type of thing. And I thought, man, it hurts. You know how it hurts when you hear someone say something that they think God has a part in the bad stuff. You know, and it just, and so I know that I don't hardly ever give you a chance to say anything. But if you know right now a basic foundation that you know, that you know, that you know, would you share that? And the reason I'm saying this is you may not think that's important, but the revelation that God gives you can really affect somebody else so much. I mean, somebody might hear what God has revealed to you just maybe, you know, in 20 words or less it might be. See, mine is, God is good all the time. That revelation there changed my life, and it led me into so many other things. But when I finally got an understanding, God is good all the time. There's no bad in Him. You know, it changed the way I looked at things. It opened revelation for me from the Word of God. So, anyway, you got something? You right quick. You said that this is, yes, ma'am. There's only power in what you can do. Let me tell you, I was at a cowboy thing the other day, and a guy came to it, and he saw me, and he came over to me, and he said, "This is why the Lord sent me here." And I said, "What?" He said, "I wasn't planning on coming." But he said, "The Lord sent me here because of you." And he said, "This way," he said, "you have lost a ton of weight. Tell me." Well, I started into that right there. There's no power in what you can't do. And when I said that, it was like a little light bulb went on. He said, "That's right. That's right. All this stuff that I can't do hadn't done me a bit of good." So that revelation changes somebody's life. Right. There's no power. Anybody else? I'm not going to take long because y'all know I'm going to preach, so. He's the finished. That's it. It's already done it all. The finished work of Jesus. I get it now. Yeah. 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 There's not anything that you can do.
Except to receive, you know.
Except to receive what's been done. And that's not the simplest thing to do sometimes.
No, but you got to
receive. Right.
It's done.
Well, that's why he said, those which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life by Jesus Christ. Well, all you people want to do is just receive. You think that's easy? From religious people? No. Yeah. Run to Him. There is no power anywhere else.
You know, Pastor, as a girl in the church, I always, when somebody mistreated me, I got angry at them. And you know, the revelation came to me in my 30s that move on in me. And when I found that out, I was able to love, and I wasn't able to do that anymore.
Wow. That's good. That'll change your life right there. Everybody hear that? He said in his 30s, he got a revelation in church. He grew up in church and, you know, different people do different things to make him mad. But in his 30s, he realized who the enemy really was. And so it allowed him to love people even though they treated him wrong. Because it wasn't them, you know. And that changed your life. Yeah.
I was
Yeah. Said if people did him wrong, he just cut them off and didn't mess with them anymore because he couldn't trust them until he found out that the people weren't his enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I thought you lifted your hand. They said, hello. God is love. See? He doesn't just love, he is love, isn't he? Yes, ma'am. It's not, that's right. That's what the word says. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And the other basic foundations. God does honor his word. Yeah, right.
And I realized today just how prophetic that man
was. Wow. That's not exclusive to the Baptists, if you're wondering. We all. He said there was a gentleman, when he grew up, was growing up in church as a kid, every time this guy would do something wrong, that he would say, Jesus paid it all. And he said he never really understood what kind of a revelation that guy had. He didn't know, you know. Yes, sir. He is faithful. He cannot deny himself. That's right. Yeah. You can't transgress the blood of Jesus.
Therefore.
Every time. Every time. Because he poured it out on the original mercy seat, and there's nothing there that does anything to keep that blood alive. It ever continually. He has perfected forever them who are being sanctified. No, and that's one big thing that, you know, I told someone the other day, I said, did you ever hear somebody tell their children, you know, if you'll do that, Jesus will love you. We thought that, you know, many, many years ago. Some of you younger people may not have ever heard that. But when I was a kid, we heard that a lot. You know, and it's a lie. Jesus is going to love you no matter what. So, yes, sir. Don't dwell on the past because he doesn't do it. Don't dwell on the past because Jesus doesn't dwell on it. It's already gone. Someone said the other day, was talking about double jeopardy. You know, someone cannot be tried for anything the second time. And because all of our sins were put on Jesus, if you were tried for your sins, that would be double jeopardy. Because he's already paid the price. He was already convicted of what you and I did wrong. Even though he didn't do anything wrong. That's right. That's right. Well, that's where I'll use that in the Old Testament where it says, every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. We have a good God. Amen. Yeah, Jack said one of the other revelations was that God's word is final authority. with nobody else's report, no situation. God's Word. I'm fixing to start. Go to Luke chapter 5. You know, I've told y'all there's always been a lot of scripture in the Bible that I was confused by. And no one really explained it to me, you know, and we didn't have the basic principles of understanding in the Word of God. You know, we have that now, but growing up as a kid, we never heard anybody say, when you read something in the Bible, you need to see who it's talking to. You know, who's he talking about? Who's he talking to? Because he could be talking to the nations, he could be talking to the Jews, he could be talking to the church. You need to find out. We didn't hear that. If the Bible said it, that was it. Nobody questioned it. Anybody else grow up in that? And so there would be certain scripture that you would look at, you know, and just you think you just won't tear it out because you didn't understand it. Nobody could explain it to you. You know, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. You know, and you think, okay, we're not going to deal with that one. Okay, we don't want to, you know, that type of thing. And so much of that Jesus was trying to bring to show them, look, you know, if you're going to live by the law, here it is. Hey, this is really what it says. Do you really, you know, this? Do you really think you can do this? And so those are part of it. Well, this one was always kind of one of them. And do you remember Fred Price? Bless his darling heart. Fred Price has just blessed the body of Christ for so many years. And I understand that he's semi-retired or step down, kind of, sort of, whatever. But anyway, many years ago, Fred brought out the fact he had a revelation from God. He said, when you look at the Scripture, you need to know whether what is being said there is a statement of truth or a true statement. Well, none of us really understood what he was talking about when he first said that until he started explaining it. He said, all right, give you an example. He said they said a lot of things about Jesus there just before the crucifixion. They called him a blasphemer. They called this, called that. He said, now, was that truly said? Did they truly say that in the Bible? Did that guy standing there, the people they brought to lie about, did they really say that? Well, yes, they did. Well, was it a statement of truth? No, it was not. Because Jesus wasn't a blasphemer. And so he used that as an example. You know, and he went over to, remember, he used Job. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, is that a true statement? Well, yes, Job did say that. Well, was it a statement of a truth? No, it was not. Not in that instance. Because Job was thinking the Lord took his stuff away from him when the devil did. So Fred did a wonderful job in showing us, when you read something, let the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, show you who it's talking to. Is this a statement? Well, I've had a lot of that because, you know, most of us that grew up in church have had that. But thank God we're learning some stuff. I mean, you know, and it just totally changes everything. This one was kind of one of them. And for years I didn't know what this one. This one always confused me. And it's in Luke chapter 5 in verse 36. He spake also a parable unto them. No man puts a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agrees not with the old. And no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desires the new, for he says, the old is better. And for years that bothered me, because I was, you know, smart enough to know the new wine was the new covenant, the old wine was the old covenant, But that statement there at the end, but no man also having drunk old wine straightway desires the new, for he says the old is better, just totally confused me. I thought, the old is not better. Why is it saying the old is better? And I dealt with it for you. I thought, why is it saying the old is better? The old is not better. It's called a new and better covenant, right? It's not. And it took me a long time to realize it wasn't saying the old was better. What they're saying is men will say that. Men will say. First of all, if they're not born again, they're going to tell you that old way is still the best way. If they don't have a revelation of what God's doing and what God's done through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, they will still say, now this, no. Ten commandments are good enough. Good enough for my mom and daddy, good enough for me, you know. Well, what they were dealing with here was the Mosaic Law and the New Covenant. And what he's saying is, first of all, if you don't get these people born again, they're not going to receive this new one. They're going to say the old is better. It's worked. Well, that's what happened to the Jewish people. They turned the law into their God. All right? Now, unlike us, that's our darling little hearts. We've always had great revelation, and we've never had a problem changing and going into new stuff and all that, right? No. Yeah, we can still do the same thing if we don't watch out. You can turn the things that you've always been doing and say, listen, that old way is better. And it's not. The new way is better. What we didn't understand was how new the new was. How good the gospel of Jesus Christ really is. The Apostle Paul struggled with it. I was reading today on different things that he was saying. He could not... No, that's not correct. He did get it over to the world finally. But you can see the struggle he had telling people about the good news. Because they were not going to receive it. They wanted that old law has always been good enough, and you know we're not changing, and that type of thing. And he, bless his heart, I mean, thank God of who he was and what God did through him, because you can see all through Galatians and different books at him dealing with this situation of that bunch still thinking, well, okay, we got new wine, but we're going to mix some old wine with it. And, you know, and he said, no, that's not going to work either. It's going to have to be new, or it's not going to work at all. And that's where we are, I think, right now. I think we're in a place where we're ready to say, Lord, reveal to us the simple gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's always rules and regulations in things. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Okay? So, I was enjoying a look at the old wine and the new. Did anybody else ever deal with that scripture, or did you ever see it? Or did you understand it all along? I just always had struggled with it because I just thought, well, why is everybody like the old stuff then if we're supposed to be in the New Testament? And he wasn't saying that's the way it should be. He was saying, but first of all, if a person's not born again, they're not going to receive it. And then I see also a parallel for church folk, Christian people. This is the way everybody's talking about the church they grew up in. We had those rules and regulations, and this is what we're always been told. And those things have been buried in you, and it takes some digging to get this stuff out. You know, so let me show you some scripture. Romans chapter 4, very quickly. I know you know all these scripture, but look at Romans chapter 4. I'm going to read 1 through 7. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he would have whereof to glory, but not before God. But what says the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I like the part, justifies the ungodly. He sent his word. This new wine justifies the ungodly. That's the covenant that we struggle with so much of the time, is that even though we are godly people, the devil will remind you of every mistake you make so that you won't feel godly. But you have to always remember, that's exactly what he says. God, Jesus Christ, through his grace, justifies the ungodly. That's what he did. That's why you don't have to be concerned about it. He's taken care of it. Now, go over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. See, I want us to remember, we have always lived by faith. But so much of the time, we have depended on our faith instead of depending on Jesus. Okay, and don't get me wrong, the just shall live by faith, but the just shall live by their faith in Jesus, not in what they're able to believe and do. Okay? Now, what that does, that's when it throws it back onto you and hits you in the back of the head here, is if you've done enough for your faith level to be up, even for God to be able to answer your prayer, instead of just saying, let's just forget all that and let me believe on Jesus. And when we do that, that's when you can apply that grace. And I don't want to get into Sunday because I'm so excited about that. But I'm going to give you this a little bit. It's so easy to apply the grace. It's like this. Lord, I know that I can't do this, and I thank you so much for doing this for me. And I love you, and I appreciate it so much. That's how you apply God's willingness to use His power on your behalf. Then, having done all, stand. Do you realize how hard it is not to look for one more thing to do? Well, now see, I'll get to something in a minute, because we need to understand. I taught this somewhere a few months ago, and a guy came up to me and he said, I'm so thankful that you explained grace, because he said, most people think grace means you don't do anything. I said, no, grace doesn't mean you don't do anything. Grace means God's done it all. And the part is believing. If God's grace is His willingness to use His power on your behalf, then something's going on. There's something in your life that He's using that power on. And the only thing you have to do to activate it is believe it. But when you believe it, the grace is applied. Anyway, that's an angle. I'm not touching any more about applying the grace right now. It's hard for me to keep secrets. I just can't just keep secrets. It just. Okay. Did you find Galatians? Have I read any of that yet? All right. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, I know that's a simple statement. But you see what the Apostle Paul was doing here in Galatians? This guy was laboring, man. He was just doing his best to get these people to understand you cannot mix the old wine and the new wine. He said, you know, you began in the Spirit, and then all of a sudden you've fallen back into, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And he said, you're mixing the two. You're mixing reward by accomplishment with grace bestowed. And you can't do that. Now, does grace mean we don't do anything? No, but grace is the why. Why do we do the things that we do? Because they're works? No, because we believe it. Why do we come to church? Because we believe. Why do we tithe? Why do we give? Why do we love? Why do we do all? We don't do those as works. We do them because we believe it. That's who we are. All right? Now, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Am I on the time limit here? Ephesians chapter 2. Look down in verse 10. We are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. See that? We are His workmanship. He did this. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not by good works. Unto good works. Are you with me? So the works come from the why. Why do you witness to people? Well, we have to tell people about Jesus because there's a commandment. No. We tell them about Jesus because we love Him and we love them. And we want them to know Him because there's nobody in the world better to know than Him. That's the why. The why takes it from being a dead work to being unto good works. Does that make sense? The why. Why do I do this? Well, because I have to. No, because I get to. You're looking at me like you know what I'm talking about. I was laughing. Darlene was reading this. We read every morning, but we were sitting there reading, and she was reading in Joseph Prince's book, and she said, He said, the opposite of faith is works. And I said, well, yeah, I understand what he's talking about. I wish he had said dead works. Because the opposite of faith is dead works. That's what Hebrews says, right? In fact, flip over to Hebrews chapter 6 very quick. We'll come back to, well, maybe through there. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection or development, not laying again the foundation. Foundation. Here's a foundation. If you want the foundation in your life, here's the foundation right here. Not laying again the foundation of repentance, or turning away, or stop doing dead works, but turn your face toward God. Are you with me? Now, why were the works not right? Because they were dead. There are good works. The Bible talks to them. We're created unto good works. Right? Is this making sense to you? All right. It's like, say you're going to go to Guatemala and help them build a church. Okay? Now, well, we don't do works, Brother Bush. We just use our faith. Okay? So you go down and here's that lumber standing right out there. And you just stand there and you put your faith on it. No, there's got to be something more done. All right? Now, why are you going to lay your hand to that work? And that's just one work. There's all kinds of. Why are you going to do that? Because that is going to help get the gospel out about our Lord Jesus. Why you go on a mission trip? Because it's a work and labor of love. Why do you do that? To make points? No. Why are you doing that? Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Okay? So that's not a dead work. Now, it can be. If you're going around the world building churches because Well, that's, you know, God's going to judge me one of these days. That's what I got to do. Then that's a dead work. But if you're doing that because that draw is in your heart and you get to, it all comes from the heart, then there's life in it. Because it comes from the Lord. All right? Now I'm kind of getting off my track here, but that's, we need to understand that. Anything that you're doing to get God to do something is a dead work. Anything you're doing because He put it in your heart to do is a live work. See the difference? If you're doing it to try to earn points, it's a dead work. If you're doing it because grace is in your heart and that's what the desire is, then it's a live work. And when there's life in it, then Jesus is it. Okay? All right. Not laying again the foundation of repentance and dead work, but faith toward God. So there's a basic, then it goes on to say some other things, but right there's the foundation. The old covenant was the dead works. The new covenant is faith toward God. How do I make things happen? How do I get the things in my life that I need? How do I? You believe. What? You believe what He's already said. Well, then how do I apply that grace? You apply it by using the Word of God. Because it comes from your heart and you say it with your mouth. That's why He said, speak to the mountain, tell it to move. Why? Because it comes from your heart. That kind of work is not dead. It's live. Are you with me? Okay. Go back to Galatians. About out of time. I want to read Galatians chapter 3. I got to reading it today. I got so excited. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh or by your works? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if yet they be in vain? He, therefore, that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, know you, therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with Abraham. Now, this, I'm going to continue just two or three more verses. But guys, here's our new start right here. It's laying aside all the stuff you've been trying to do to get God to do what you need to do in your life, and there's a lot of things. It's just simply believing it. Well, how do I do that? Just say it. The things that you just got through saying a while ago, all those basic principles that are getting down in you are right out of there. And it's not stuff you're trying to do, it's stuff you got a revelation on. And when you got a revelation on, it just became that new wine. It's not the old, it's the new. You're not the one saying, I'm staying in my old ways. You're the one saying, this new stuff works. This new wine's better. It's a lot better that Jesus did the work and did it for me than me having to do it and present it to Him and see if He accepts it. Have I had enough faith? Have I confessed enough over my situation? Why is this thing not moving? Because we're looking for one more work to do instead of just backing off and saying, Lord, Your Word is settled forever in heaven. You said it, I believe it, and that's the way it's going to be. Thank You for removing this thing out of my life that I don't like. Thank You for bringing this stuff into my life that I need. Thank You, Lord, for showing. It's so easy to say thank You for finished work. Because it's all done. It's all finished. You need healing in your body. Thank You, Lord. by your stripes I was healed. I'm not having anything else. Well, I need to do one more thing. No, if you do, you're back in that old wine thing. Now, don't get me wrong. When something enters here for you to do, then you do it. If it enters here, you need to check and see if it came from here. Ooh, I got an idea. I've had a bunch of them, and most of them don't work. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. They're good ideas. But as far as us living in this gospel, where this gospel boils down to Jesus did it all and gave it to us, that's believing. And for anybody that I say this all the time, for anybody that says, well, that's too easy, you evidently aren't doing it. Because when you start applying the principle of the new wine, I'm not going to try to do this myself. I'm not going to try to make this happen. I'm not going to wear myself out. Jesus said, take no anxious thought. So I refuse to worry about this. That's the gospel right there. She said a while ago, why should I struggle with something that's already been finished? But that's where the battlefield is, right? That's the ground right there, is taking that and believing it. Now, there in Galatians, where did I stop? 10? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now, we can easily say, well, now, Brother Butch, I'm not under the law. I'm a Christian. But if we tend to have those thoughts that we hadn't dug out, trying to figure out what we haven't done yet, or if we haven't done is enough, or whatever, you're putting yourself under the law. And if you put yourself under the law, you put yourself under the curse. So that's why you roll over there and you say, I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to quit worrying about this. I'm going to quit trying to make this happen. Lord, you are my... With joy, I get to draw water out of the wells of salvation. Let me give you an example, and I can't tell you all of it because it's kind of some personal business. The wells of salvation, God knows what they are in your life, and I'm going to tell you from personal experience, I had some I didn't even know about. Because, you know, when you start making things happen, you start drawing from wells. You got this over here, you can make this happen by doing this, and Well, I came up into a situation where I didn't know what to do about this situation. And let's say, out of the blue, came a well that I didn't even know I had. I never looked at it as a well or a place of deliverance, a way out. But the Lord did. He had it there all along. And I thought, with joy, you get to draw water out of the wells of salvation. He never lacks for a place for you to draw strength from Him. And it's unconditional. And people hear this. Someone said this the other day. Yeah, but if you do that, people will just, they'll just run wild. People, no, they won't. You cannot live under grace and run wild. Grace does not say it's okay for you to do anything. The grace of God says, I'll apply my power to any situation you need because I love you. When you understand that, then you start applying that grace. So that's what it means. We have not been delivered into freedom to live any way the flesh wants to live. We have been delivered from it. How? Not by our works, because we can't do it. It's by His grace. Now, we have not depended. Now, let's just be honest. I'm quitting. We have not depended on His grace as much as we've depended on our faith. And so what we do is just change it around. Because it didn't work anyway. We thought it was. It was all time as His grace anyway. You know, because He's not looking for a way not to do something for you. I mean, I've had so many faith accidents in my life. I mean, you know, I just pray and God would find a way that He could make it happen. Despite my whatevers. Well, now when we're working with God, we can get a lot more done a lot quicker. Okay? Now, let me finish reading that and I'll quit. Did I finish my thought? I'm just... Anyway. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in Him. And again, not just in His ability to do it, but that He's already done it. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them will live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might have the promise of the Spirit through faith. I started studying that when that thing came up in me about the wine. And I heard that in me say that part. And I remembered, yeah, that's something I always dealt with was, well, we always say that the old is better. And then I realized we can get comfortable in the old way. You can get comfortable. Well, listen, what I always do, all I do is start talking to that mountain, I tell you what. And I found out, you know, after a while, after I talked to that mountain enough, I look one day, it'll be gone. Well, wasn't God gracious? That even though sometimes we were putting faith in our faith, it was still His faith, and He got the job done. But it wasn't us doing it. It's Him. It's been Him all along. Any success in your life has all been Him. And it keeps getting better. Because now, I'm not living that. I no longer say that old way's best. I no longer will say, that's the way I live. I'll say, I'm going to live by what this gospel says. If Jesus says it's going to be that simple, then that's what I'm going to say. Whether I feel like it's that simple or not, I'm going to say it because that's what He said. Because that's the new wine. That's the new wine. We are people that say the new wine's best. The new wine is best. We're not in that bunch that says it. I understand why they say that, because you can get comfortable in that. But that's not the truth. This new way is better. What's the new way? It's not a new way. It's been the same way since the cross. But just, you know, people say there's nothing new under the sun, but there's a lot of it new to me. I don't know it all. I'm still learning a lot of it. But we're living in a spot now where we're learning to believe Jesus. Believe Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean we're not going to learn how to apply our faith, walk in faith, doing the things, because we do that all the time. But it's that why. When you put the why in front of it, why am I going to overcome in my faith? Jesus. It's not me applying my faith to get Jesus to do it. It's Him having already done it, me applying my faith in Him and receiving what He's already done. That's the whole key to it right there. It takes your eyes off of whether it's done yet or not and puts your eyes on Jesus. Because there's no place else to go to. You run to Him. That's what we're talking about. We'll go. You run to His presence, not from His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. Stand together. Oh. Tithe and offering. Okay. Take the envelopes around you on the seats. Ask the Holy Spirit how your giving is to be done. I am so sorry. I apologize. I said I was going to be shorter than that. But y'all talk too long. And, hey. All right. Let's get ready and receive the tithe and offering. We'll bring our sticks. We will also be playing Brother Bray Gene Wilson's music. We will receive that anointing in our life. And we'll be healed, made whole, blessed in every area. Because of our Jesus. And then we'll pray over it and we'll be dismissed. Okay? Go ahead, guys.
If I could ever get to Jesus, I know my healing would be complete. If I can't get to the door, I'll tear off the roof, 'cause there's a healer in the house today.
All right, Brother Mike, stop that. Angel Nelson. Angel, you are right there. It's good to have you tonight. We appreciate you being here. Amen. All right, guys, let's stand together. We'll pray. Very quickly, again, if I'm thoroughly convinced that people that didn't grow up in church have an advantage in one way. Now, don't get me wrong. I would not take for everything I learned in church. It's just part of who I am, and I just so thrilled about it. But when it comes to believing in the newness and the finished work of Jesus, religion gets in the way. I've had to deal more with religion and the things of it than I have with anything else. And I prayed about that a different time, but not long ago I was praying about that, and I said, Lord, all those things, you know, it seemed like mankind has the propensity to take every revelation and turn that thing into a law. You know, this is what we heard from God, and you better not touch it. And did they hear from God? Yeah, yeah. But we're going to surround it and protect it, like, you know, Jesus can't take care of himself. And when I talked to him, I said, all the things you've done for me all my life, and I thought I was doing it right, but I was still trying to operate in a system. And I said, I won't tell you how much I appreciate what you've done in spite of me in all these things. And that's where I got that message the other night on the heart. Because he always said, your heart's right. Man looks on the outside, God looks on the heart. Our hearts are right. When your heart's right, the heart man's going to teach his lips, okay? Amen. Father, we thank you this night that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you that we get to use your grace, Lord, not only to overcome everything in our life, but to tell the world how wonderful you are and let them know you are their answer and your grace is sufficient. And so, Lord, we thank you. We receive the increase in our church, in our families, in our homes. We receive it, Father, and we thank you that we are blessed, and we call it done in Jesus' name. Amen.